What's shaking, Red Nation? It is Jeremy Brenner here with another episode of The Dream Take presented by The Dream Shake. Got a lot to talk about today with Media Day happening earlier this week. And I can't do this by myself. Y'all already know. So that's why I've got my co-pilot, Mr. Michael Brown, up here on stage with me. Mike, what's going on, brother? Happy Media Day. Happy Media Week. Happy start of training camp. Happy Tuesday if you're listening to this on a Tuesday. Happy Wednesday if you're listening to this on a Wednesday. Happy whatever day it is on whatever day you're listening to this. But Michael Brown, how are you doing, brother?
That's a lot of well wishes there to start the show. It's
well, I wanted to make sure I got everyone covered.
I appreciate it. It's always good to be on with you, my brother. It's look, man, it's an exciting time for the Rockets. I know if that's the word that I think is the buzzword. And, you know, we're going to get into what all the guys had to say, obviously, but it's fun right now with the Rockets. Fun and exciting are the two key words. I think that will come up a lot during this show.
Speaking of fun, you were in Las Vegas over the weekend.
I was.
Had a good weekend in Vegas?
I did. I got to meet Carrot Top, which is pretty cool.
Really?
Yeah, he was at the Las Vegas Raiders game. Two things. That dude is jacked, and his face looks like the bottom of a rubber-soled flip-flop.
So is he Carrot Top, rubber-soled flip-flop bottom?
Yeah, it's not good. He looked good, man. I mean, for the most part, Dolphins got screwed by the refs, obviously, over the weekend, so that was not fun. But Vegas is great, so good to be home.
Very, very fun. Yes, good to be home in Houston. I'm here in Orlando, and, you know, it's been interesting because, you know, just everything going on lately. It's with Rockets basketball coming back slowly but surely, I think we're 3 weeks away from opening night in Minnesota. So things are starting to feel a little bit more normal around these parts, and love to see it. But let's talk about what the Rockets had to say yesterday during Media Day. A lot of good vibes happening. You mentioned the word exciting, Mike. I think that's a good word to use to describe the vibes surrounding yesterday. Very young team, a very different team than what we saw a year ago. But is there anything, I guess, that stood out to you? Good. We'll start good. What was your favorite takeaway, I guess, from Media Day, if you have one?
It had to be the interview with Kevin Porter Jr.
Yeah, really.
Between him and Daniel House, first of all, I didn't realize that Daniel House had a rap album coming out, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, Porter House.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and probably skip that. That might just be me. But I really appreciated the openness of each of those two guys, but especially a guy like Kevin Porter Jr. because – we all forget, maybe not so much Rockets fans, because everyone knows how young they're going. Kids who come into the NBA, more so than any other league of the major sports, feels like these are the youngest professional athletes out there. I mean, you can be 18 and you're playing day one. Kevin Porter, these are kids, you know, and I think Kevin Porter Jr. acknowledges the mistakes that he made in Cleveland. And he's just very appreciative of the Houston Rockets and the chance that they're giving him. I'll say this, my biggest takeaway is that it was really refreshing to have one of our best players actually be appreciative of the organization as a whole.
Yeah, everyone said that they were very appreciative of the organization, it felt.
Yeah, it's a good group of guys, man. I mean, you saw that yesterday. You know, Christian Wood is as hungry as all get out. You know, Jalen Green still has that chip on his shoulder from not being the number one overall pick. And I think maybe the highlight of Media Day was the fact that we didn't spend 1 second outside of noting that the team is 100% fully vaccinated. That's not even a topic for this team and this organization. That's a huge deal based on what else is going on in the league.
Yeah, I think that any press is, I guess that was kind of, I'll reword this. I think that was the big takeaway from all the media days. Obviously what got the most attention, but that's not what we're focusing on here in Houston. What we're focusing on here in Houston is let's get to the season. Let's focus on our future. And I like that basketball is the forefront here. It's not the mm-hmm. behind the scenes. It's not the trade chatter. It's not any of that. It's about what are the Rockets' goals for the 2021-2022 season. And it feels as if everybody is on the same page in that everyone appears to simply just want to get better this season. And I think we're going to see that from everybody. I really do think that everybody is signed up to improve, to get better in some regards. And maybe this is not a good thing. It doesn't really feel like an NBA team. It feels more like a college team.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not necessarily a bad thing. It sounds like a bad thing. But at the same time, I guess what I'm trying to get at is it feels like the focus of the team is let's get these guys as developed as we possibly can and let's enjoy it. Let's build the foundation. We have the foundation. We have some pieces in place. Now let's start building.
Yeah, I think outside of those two guys that I talked about at the top of the show, I was impressed with a guy like Daniel Theis. You know, what I like about this team is that it seems that everybody knows their role. Eric Gordon, what's his nickname? They're calling him OG. They're calling David OG. Nwaba. Jayshon Tate, they've got a nickname for him. Like, these guys are just having fun, you know? Like, they really do look like a group when they went on their trip together to get ready for the season. The fact that Silas thinks that they're in pretty good shape, you know, physically to start, you know, this offseason, or to start the regular season, I should say. Jeremy, I'm bullish. This is a playoff team. If everything goes right, it's there. It's 100% there.
I'll say this. Everything has to go right, and a lot of things have to go wrong for other teams.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, it's a good point, but you and I both know that not everything's going to go right for the Rockets, but not all is going to go right in other cities either. You know, like, what's going to happen in Minnesota with Karl Anthony Towns in the organization? You know, I think he eventually gets moved. Klay Thompson won't be ready to play basketball until late November. Is that a huge deal? No, but that's still something.
You're missing like 10 games.
He's going to miss 10 games, but he also hasn't played in 2 years. There's going to be rust to knock off. If the Rockets...
I don't know. Shooter shoot.
I mean, I agree, but you know what I'm saying. Like, if the Rockets can get off to a decent start... Let me ask you this. After you've seen video today from the team, we've seen what this team looks like. What is their biggest flaw? What would you say this roster's biggest flaw is? Okay.
They're too young. They're not as experienced.
So experience, number one. Okay.
I think people don't value experience as much as it should be. I think experience is a huge part of how teams operate, and experience plays a big role later in the season. So I think that's the biggest issue for the Rockets right now, is they don't have a whole lot of experience, and they are putting, you know, the ball and the franchise in the hands of two guys who don't have 82 games combined in their careers mm-hmm. in Kevin Porter and Jalen Green. Obviously Jalen Green hasn't played a single NBA game, but another thing about him too is Jalen Green said in his interview that he feels like it's his second year, which I think is huge, because I mean, like, you know, you talk about these guys and you're like, okay, like, it's their first NBA game and stuff like that. But I was kind of thinking, like, going into that press conference, I'm like, how does Jalen Green, like, does Jalen Green feel like he's played in the NBA? Does he feel like he has, you know, like, how significant is that moment going to be for him when he plays on opening night, hopefully? Like, I don't know if it'll be as significant as it will be for a guy like Josh Christopher or Alperen Şengün or for any other guy, because he has played NBA basketball. And I guess same goes for Şengün, who's played in a professional league as well. So I think the Rockets have rookies, and yes, the experience of playing in the NBA is not necessarily fully there, and they do benefit from that. I think that will help them compared to other rookies, but at the same time, they don't have experience playing with each other as much as other teams do, and I think that is another huge flaw for the Rockets, is that they don't have as much minutes on the floor together, and they're going to have to learn over time how to play with each other in a way. And yes, you can do so much off the court, you can do so much in summer league, you can do so much in that, but nothing compares to a real life NBA game. And that's right. When practice doesn't always just go out the window, but it's still not a game. It's not a regular season NBA game. And that will, playing on that stage will take some time to adjust.
I totally agree. I think the experience, though, I think you can look at is either a positive. This may sound stupid, but let me explain. It can either be a good thing or a bad thing. I look at it from the perspective of they're so young and they don't have any experience that they don't know any better. Like, on its face, you've got a guy in Jalen Green that I would argue is more of a pro right now than Cade Cunningham is by playing where he played last year compared to where Cade played. You have that sort of talent. You have a guy in KPJ who dropped 50 in an NBA game last year, who only improved his game based on what Coach Silas has said about him thus far. You've got a guy in Eric Gordon who put up 50 on Utah. You've got if he didn't get hurt, a borderline all-star in Christian Wood. You have an all-NBA rookie guy in Jayshon Tate. You've got a legit backup point guard in DJ Augustine. You've got a defensive anchor in Daniel Tice that I think was an underrated signing in the offseason. And you have a guy who's been here forever in Daniel House that can do a lot of things. You also have David Nwaba, who before he got hurt last year was one of our better players. So you put all of that together and a guy who's not in his first year as a head coach and Stephen Silas. I love we haven't talked about her yet. They brought in Barbara Turner, who used to play for the Comets as the lead. She's in the front office, I think the head of player development with John Lucas. Like, there's a lot of things happening with this roster that I think people are sleeping on. I really, really do. And I cannot wait to see them. Preseason is going to be massive for this team. I feel like, I think the Rockets need the preseason as badly as any other team in the league.
They will certainly be competitive. There are going to be nights where this team, like, I don't think we're going to see too many nights like we did last season where the Rockets are just out before the game even begins. Mm-hmm. There will be nights like that this year, but at the same time, I think every team has nights like that, even the good ones, even the contenders. But the Rockets will be competitive in a good number of games this year. You're not going to see them going down by 20 and then just, you know, trying to chip away again and again and again until the end of the game when they just, you know, lose by 15. I don't think we're going to see that as much this year. I think the Rockets are going to surprise some teams this year because they're not expected to be great, but they're not a team that you can slouch on. They are a trap game for a lot of teams this season because they're going to play at the highest ability, and they're playing very loose. That's another word I would use to kind of describe the atmosphere with this team right now, is loose, because the team doesn't really have too many expectations. They are the ones that kind of write their own story. They are the ones that kind of set their own expectations. And with that is a recipe for success, because you're not, I mean, if you don't put your expectations too high, then you can't be disappointed. So, and at this point, look, anything would be better than last year. Last year was rock bottom. This team will not be as bad as it was last year. And that is a good thing, because we can watch this team grow without feeling the need of, oh, we have to win this game, or we have to win the next game, or we can't lose, you know, two out of three or whatever. We just get to watch this team grow game by game. And they will. They will improve, because they have already shown significant improvement during the offseason. That's what, you know, Silas has said. And, you know, the development continues on into the regular season. And I'm really excited to just watch something grow. It's going to be a different Rockets team than we've been used to in the last 10 years, but it's going to be a fun, it's going to be a fun team. It's just a different brand of fun.
Yeah, and what they have, speaking to what you just said, is that the difference between this year and last year is that you have a guy like a Jalen Green that will not take losing well. Kevin Porter Jr. is not going to take losing well. Christian Wood is not a guy that will take losing well. So I think that is important, that if you build a culture of losing where it's okay and it's encouraged, your team goes down the tubes in a matter of weeks. This team loses three or four in a row, which they probably will next year. I think they have too much talent to go on multiple losing streaks, you know? And I think that there's, you know, and there's enough teams in this league, right? Now that the Rockets are not a top team in the league, they're not in the upper echelon of teams. If there's a tier one, how many teams in the NBA right now are you putting into tier one? I'm putting the Lakers in tier one. I'm putting Milwaukee.
Really?
The Lakers?
I don't know about that.
Okay. I mean, by talent alone, I mean, you know how much I hate that team.
I think they're tier two. I think the Nets and the Bucks are the two best teams in the league right now.
Okay. Yeah. If you go tier two, I'd put a team like Atlanta in tier two. I'd put a team Philadelphia is probably a tier two type team, but like night in and night out, you're more than likely not going to be facing one of the tier one or tier two teams. Like the Rockets can very easily, if they can find a way to win, you know, you're playing the Thunder, you're playing the Grizzlies, you're playing the Kings, the Blazers, the Suns, like all of those games, are the Rockets going to be favored? Absolutely not, but they're going to be competitive. And give me a guy like a Kevin Porter Jr. or like a Christian Wood or a Jalen Green down by four with 3 minutes left, I'm going to take my chances.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think with this team, it's simply a matter of, you know, something that Steven Silas mentioned and Rafael Stone mentioned is how not only do we want these guys to improve on the court, but off the court as well. They're really taking this as a program, because if you think about it, like four guys on the team are 19 years old. It feels weird when you see players that are older than you. I mean, I'm not as used to that. I'm only 23. So it hasn't been like that for me that long, but Mike, like when you were my age and you saw people coming into the league that were your age, that feel like weird to you?
I mean, it's so weird. I mean, I'll be 31 in a month. I mean, the Rockets, if you look at their lineage, right? When they acquired Harden was what, 23? Yeah. A lot of the talent that they're superstars that they've acquired, they've actually acquired young. I'm trying to think of any other, like Dwight Howard was a guy that they acquired, and him and Chris Paul that were older once they got here. But Yao Ming drafted, mm-hmm. Steve Francis drafted, Ketino Mobley drafted, Dream was drafted. The Rockets actually have a pretty decent lineage of molding and bringing up their own talent. They're superstar talent. But yes, yeah, it is a little weird.
Like, think about this. Jalen Green graduated high school in 2020.
Yeah, that's terrifying. Like, that's a terrifying. That just makes me just like, actually, it just makes my back hurt, if you want my honest assessment.
Oh, no.
No, but like, overall, I mean, let me ask you this. That was probably the most fun media day I think I've watched for the Rockets in a long time.
That's good.
I mean, what do you think? Like,
it was definitely better vibes than it was last year. I mean, media day is great because you get to see the players all excited, all happy. They got to do all those messages and things along those lines. Like, hey, Red Nation, it's Usman Garuba. Like, I can't wait to meet you this season. Like, and then there was a video they put out, like a 1 minute like highlight film, like about yesterday, and how just everyone was just laughing and giggling and just enjoying being around each other. And like, you just, you can't help but just feed off of that energy, and it's addicting almost. It's the original high. That's what this is just the enjoyment of seeing other people happy. There's very happy vibes, happy atmosphere, and I honestly like that the Rockets are kind of going in this direction, because I do believe that you have to focus on yourself, and that this is how I live my life. Honestly, I focus on myself and my happiness, and I notice that when I'm at my mental best is when I perform best in my job. And that is something that I think a lot of people, that's like the business model, I think, that's starting to, you know, kind of take shape here, not just in the NBA, not just in the Rockets, but as a business that is trying to thrive in 2021, a program, if you will. And because the Rockets are, at this point, half Gen Z. And that is a very Gen Z way of thinking. And I probably just threw myself into Gen Z unwillingly, which, to be fair, I consider myself to be a millennial. But then again, that's a topic for another day. But I do have Gen Z parts to my personality, I guess. But, you know, long story short, the Rockets are trying to have these people grow on and off the court. And I do think that focusing on the off the court growth is going to help the on court growth just as much.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think it's really hard as a fan to not like a guy like Alperen Sengun. And it brings me to the point, if the Rockets opening night do not have a t-shirt with his face on it that just says, "I'm so happy," I mean, I would buy that in 5 seconds.
If not, we should make one. No. Or Apollo Houston should make one, or something like that.
Like, have like the Rockets are like on his cheek or something, you know, like he's just a fan at the game and it just says, "I'm so happy." But it's like, listen to him talk. Listen to a guy. For anybody who hasn't heard the interview with Kevin Porter Jr. or Daniel House, go listen to them. Because I think the mark that Steven Silas is now making on this team is noticeable. Like, there's just a different aura around, you know, the team right now. And I'll give you a perfect example. Did you catch the James Harden quote about his extension with Brooklyn?
Yeah, he's like, you know, taking it. He wants to focus on the championship this year.
You're going to tell me that if you're a Brooklyn Nets fan, that doesn't worry you a good bit?
That will be a lingering storyline throughout the season.
And you're going to tell me is if he was still with the Rockets, he does that sort of quote, you and I are hopping on a show that night saying, what does this mean? Where is he going? Why is he not, you know?
I'm so glad we don't have to do that.
You know what I mean? Like, this, I know it's early. And the John Wall situation, I don't know if you were going to ask the question of what stood out in a negative way. Like, the John Wall thing from Media Day rubbed me the wrong way. I don't know about other fans out there, but it rubbed me the wrong way. That's the only...
It did the absolute opposite to me, so I'm curious to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, it's just... It's just awkward, you know? Like, he had a quote that was like, my job is to mentor the young guys and do all these different things. I'm like, no, it's not. Your job is to play basketball. Like, your job is not to be...
That's not up to John Wall.
Nah.
That's up to Steven Silas, and Steven Silas works directly with Rafael Stone, and the two sides came to the agreement that it is best that if John Wall doesn't play. Now, it's one thing if, you know, the Rockets are saying, John, like, you got to play. And he's like, well, no, I don't want to. Like, I don't want to play for you losers. That's not what's happening here, though. This is a mutual decision, and you can tell that they're in agreement on it. Like, they look like a unit. They did not look like two sides looking for different things. They looked like a united front, Stone and Wall. And I think it was a sign of that everybody is kind of on the same page. And, you know, Stone said he's not like a part. He's an important part. We're leaning on John. John's a rock. That's my dude. We're in it together. And I think that it's, I think it's the right decision. I think it's the right decision to sit John Wall. I think while, yes, it would be nice to have him play, I do think that what he's, him sitting benefits other people on the roster. And having John Wall play is as great as it would make our team and then probably make the Rockets better, I don't think it's what's best for the Rockets long term. And I think that he still is seen as a valuable part of the roster. The only person that should be mad that John Wall is not playing and that John Wall is making $40 million to not play is Tillman Fertitta, because Tillman Fertitta still has to pay his check at the end of the day. And Tillman Fertitta is paying him $40 million to sit on the bench. And that would piss Tillman Fertitta off. But like, for me, it ain't my money. I don't care. In fact, I prefer it because this allows more minutes for Green, more minutes for KPJ, more minutes for potentially Josh Christopher a little bit sooner. To me, this is a good thing for the Rockets that John Wall is not playing, because it gives those guys who are the future of the team more time. And I don't have to pay a dime for John Wall. Now, if it was on my dime, I might feel a little bit of a different way. But I don't got to pay John Wall a single penny. So I'm chilling.
Yeah. What?
I'm chilling with him on the bench. I'm like, hey, John.
Look, I get that, and I don't disagree with it, but there's no reason for him to be at media day then. If you're not going to be, if you're not going to be there, but he's not like that's, but that's, dude, that's the divide though, is to me.
Do you want me to tell you the Rafael Stone quote again?
I'll say it again. I know I heard it, and he can say what he wants. You and I both know that in today's world of professional sports, what front offices say, you take it with a grain of salt. Like, do I think Stone is being real to a certain extent? Yeah, I do. But at the same time, your job, John Wall's job, is to play basketball. Now, before you say anything, that's his job. If it's an agreed upon negotiation between player and an organization to say, we do not want you here to play basketball, we want you here to mentor, we want you to be here to work with the young guys, then I don't need to waste my time as a fan worrying about what you're saying at the media day for the players that are actually going to play or a coach. That's right. That's all I'm
coming. Let me ask you this, Mike.
Sure.
Let me ask you this. Your job, your boss tells you, hey, Mike, you know, you don't need to work. I'm paying you to do sales, but you know what? I'm going to pay you and you don't have to come into work. You get a paid vacation. You know what? You can go back to Vegas. You can go to Vegas again or go to Miami for the next Dolphins game. But you get full paid. You don't have to pay a dime. I will pay you everything that you are worth, and you don't have to do anything. Mm-hmm. How would you feel?
But that's the thing, is that they're asking – that's the weird part about this, is that that's not what they're doing. What they're doing is they're trying to say, we don't want you to play, but we want you to do other things. Right now, he's the highest paid assistant coach in the league. Is what he?
But John Wall has accepted this role. That's another thing.
Yeah, because if you're John Wall, of course you're going to accept it. But my problem is that this current situation is still a situation because the organization is allowing it to be a situation that it doesn't need.
But I don't think it's as big of a thing as you think, Mike. I think it's as big of a deal as you're making it out to be. I don't think it's going to be a distraction or anything.
I think it's worth noting that he was there on media day for no reason at all. Like, he doesn't need to be there. Like, if he's
no, he's part of the team.
To me, I don't know if you've had any more time to think about this. This is no different than when Kawhi did what he did. It's the same thing. And the organization said,
and Kawhi was part of the team,
but he was never there. Wasn't a part of the media.
If the Rockets win a ring this year, I mean, they're not, but if they were, John Wall will get the ring.
Yeah, he would. But again, this is part of the organization. But he's not a player. Like, he's an advisor.
And that's okay.
He's an advisor.
Yes, he's an overpaid assistant coach.
Then you don't. Okay, let me ask you this. How many assistant coaches were interviewed on Monday as a part of media day? None. I'm saying, it's like, he's not.
But Mike, it ain't coming out of your pocket, so why do you care?
It's not the money aspect of it. I'm just saying that this is a continued problem that the organization has to figure out a resolution to. And I just,
the current resolution. It's a temporary resolution, but it's a resolution nonetheless.
I agree. I don't disagree with any of that. But what I'm saying is, I think they have an agreement between Wall and Silas, but the organization has no idea what to do with John Wall, just like the Sixers have no idea what to do with Ben Simmons. Both organizations are caught in no man's land because you have a commodity that no one wants for what you want in return for them. Like, the Rockets are just not willing. Tillman Fertitta is not willing to say, here's X amount of dollars, go away. To the point that he would accept, I should say.
James Harden trade.
Okay.
Remember when we were saying how James Harden was tanking his trade value by doing what he was doing? And then when and he was did. Traded, he got traded for exactly what the Rockets were asking for.
You don't know that. Impossible to say.
Yes, he got traded for the maximum amount of picks he could possibly be traded for. So he did not tank his trade value.
He definitely did, but okay,
It was perceived that he did, but at the end of the day, if James Harden did not do all of his antics and all of that and was still traded, he would have been traded for basically the exact same package.
I don't agree with that, but you and I are never going to agree on that. But you also can't compare John Wall to James Harden. Like, that's not fair.
But I think what I'm trying to, and yeah, it's two different situations, but I think at the same time, the Rockets, the issue is not that they are not finding a trade for John Wall. I think it's more of the fact that it doesn't really make sense for many teams to acquire John Wall.
It depends what you want to incentivize them with. The obvious trade partner is Philadelphia. But if you were the Rockets and you were the front office, how badly do you want to be rid of the John Wall situation? They may be in the Jeremy Brenner camp and say, look.
They are because they kept them.
They are keeping him for some reason.
For now.
For some reason.
That's my thing.
But they can't be okay with this.
For now.
But they can't be okay with what they're getting from John Wall
They're okay with it temporarily. They're okay with the idea of John Wall being at training camp. Look, by the trade deadline, I don't think John Wall is a Rocket.
But he's basically been the same player for them.
The Rockets find a place for him.
But we're going on nearly a year now of him being the same commodity. A guy who gets paid way too much money and does not have the on-court impact that he had at any point in Washington. The second half of the year he did nothing. You had the second half of last year, you couldn't move him. You had the entire offseason, you couldn't move him.
Well, they weren't looking to move him last year. They weren't looking to.
They damn well should have been based on where they are now, is all I'm saying. Like, you and I both know that after they moved Harden, the day they moved James Harden, they started shopping John Wall. They didn't, they're stupid.
Remember, they wanted the wow factor to work. They were legitimately trying to have John Wall try to keep this team from failing. They were legitimately trying. Now, they weren't succeeding, but they were trying at least for a little bit to see what a John Wall, Christian Wood, Victor Oladipo trio would look like, and if that team could contend. And that team won 6 games in a row, and they were thinking, oh, well, maybe we have something here. And then Christian Wood went down, and it all went, and he took everybody down with him. That's what happened. And then you were at a point where, okay, the season's over, and then you're at the trade deadline, and you're looking to trade. I guess, who did they trade at the trade deadline? They traded
Oladipo. Yeah,
Wall was not going to get traded. Wall was not getting traded at that point. And so this is like the offseason was the first time where you could have looked at the opportunity to trade Wall. And I'm sure they had conversations to possibly move him. But at the end of the day, they didn't find anything that they were satisfied with. And ultimately, I think what they're doing is they're waiting for either a team to bite or for some resolution to come about. But I
by not pulling the trigger, though, they cost themselves in equity, in my opinion. Like, if they would have moved him,
it's possible that they have. But I think that at this point, they don't want to just send him away for the sake of sending him away.
But why? Like,
because the thing is, if you're gonna send out $40 million in salary, you have to take back in $40 million in salary. And I don't know the configuration of players they could have gotten from who knows where was not something that they felt was worth taking back. They'd rather have John Wall. But
that's not necessarily true, though.
Look, John Wall is a negative asset, correct?
Yes, but you're talking about the salary thing. The Rockets just did that last year. They traded out $42 million in salary. They didn't take back $42 million in salary.
Okay, but that was Russell Westbrook.
No, I'm talking about Harden. When they moved Harden, they got
plenty of value for Harden. They got Oladipo was an all-star, and they were able to get all of those picks, which was the correct decision.
You said you have to get salary back.
Oladipo was the majority of that salary.
He only made $22 million, though. Yeah, but he only made $22 million last year. So the thing is, you don't have to take back all of the salary. The option for
They're going to have to take back a ton because whoever takes John Wall on will have to dump a good number of salary to be able to hold him on the roster. And the thing is, if you're going to take a negative asset, which John Wall is, we've agreed upon, you're going to have to take back a negative asset in return. And I just don't see like there being like an obvious negative asset. I think Ben Simmons is that, but I don't think that's what the Rockets should be looking at. And I explained why.
But he's not a negative asset.
When I was on the show.
Yeah.
I don't want to go through that again because that was Ben Simmons not coming to Houston. He's not. Not anytime soon, at least. But what I'll say about this, just to kind of wrap things up here a little bit, is the Rockets are doing the right thing right now with John Wall. They aren't going to settle and just send him away for nothing because they don't want to take on some other negative asset. You're basically taking a John Wall and you're going to get a John Wall in return. You're going to get a negative asset. And I'd rather keep John Wall, who is a benefit to the team, clearly. Rafael Stone has already called him an important part of the team, someone they're leaning on. I'd rather have someone that the Rockets consider as an important part of the team, someone that they're leaning on, than someone who has a negative contract, a Joe Schmo who's making way too much money than he's probably worth because he's being traded for John Wall.
Yeah,
you're going to take
Ben Simmons,
the Rockets Ben have Simmons, to have a bad player Simmons, on their team. Why not be Ben John Simmons, Wall, who's willing to sit out games and let the new players take center stage as they should, versus you take on a guy like Ben Simmons, who's going to demand to be the number one and who's going to demand to be this, and you know could ruin this whole great mojo thing the Rockets have currently going for them.
But you're also saying Ben Simmons is a negative asset is just not true. Like, the only problem that people have with
Ben Simmons was not a negative asset, he'd been traded by now.
I don't agree with that. Because I don't think Philadelphia wants to move Ben Simmons. Like Ben Simmons,
They looked into moving him.
You and I both know that every team in the league looks to move every single asset that they have, outside of maybe a guy like Giannis and Harden and Durant.
You know why Ben Simmons is a negative asset?
Why?
Right now?
Why?
Right now? Because he is not worth his contract.
I can point out to Michael Porter Jr. Denver just gave out one of the five worst contracts in the history of the NBA to Michael Porter Jr. You're going to tell me that dude's worth that contract? Not a shot in hell.
I think he fulfills that contract a little more than Ben Simmons does.
Okay, so at this point, MPJ has done what in the league? Outside of averaging, what, 17 points in one season. You want to look at what Ben Simmons's accolades are in the league, because it's sure a hell of a lot better than what Michael Porter Jr.'s is. And he's making less money than he is.
Michael Porter Jr. averaging 19 a game.
Okay.
Ben Simmons averages 14 a game. Defensively,
okay.
Ben Simmons.
So he averages more.
But
how many rebounds for Michael Porter?
But also at the same time, they're betting on Michael Porter being, you know, improving over the years. Michael Porter is 23 versus Ben Simmons being 25. And also the salary cap is just jumped. Yeah, but so the max salary is different for Michael Porter than it was for Ben Simmons.
But it's still a horrible contract.
I'm not saying it's a good contract. I do consider it to be, you know, I don't know if we can tell if it's an overpay or not yet, because he hasn't been playing on the contract yet. But at the same time, like, at this point, the Rockets have to have a negative asset on their roster because of the position that Daryl Morey put them in with the Chris Paul trade and the Russell Westbrook trade, and or just giving out Chris Paul that contract to begin with, which was deemed a negative value contract, the worst contract. It has led them up to this point. And the Rockets have to play that out until at least 2023. Or, because I just, unless Rafael Stone can find a trade where he can get a bunch of like expiring deals for John Wall, if you can get that, then do it. That's what I would trade John Wall for, is a couple of expiring salaries, one that you can buy out, maybe even two, and you go from there. But at the same time, I think it's going to take a lot for a team to take on John Wall, but I could see a team that is looking for some one piece, like that one piece away, and they feel that John Wall could be that guy. I don't know what team that could be at this point, but injuries happen throughout the year and things could change and things like that. So right now, John Wall is doing exactly what he needs to be doing, and I think we should leave it at that. But before we go, Mike, I'm going to give you the floor for your mic drop segment. 1 minute about whatever the hell you'd like to talk about. So 1 minute for you, Michael Brown.
Welcome back to Mike's Minute. I would like to talk about how we live in a society that I was just on a plane for the first time in 2 years. And the fact that there are so many people out there that don't know how to behave on an airplane, that we now can't get a cocktail on a plane, I think is absolutely ridiculous. Okay, yeah, was it 6:30 in the morning and when was I on a flight that I would have liked a Bloody Mary before getting to Las Vegas? Yeah, it sounded delicious. But now, because people are being stupid and fighting each other 30,000 feet in the air in an elongated tube that's filled with hundreds of people, now nobody has alcohol on any Southwest flights. And I think it's absolutely ridiculous. If you go to a sporting event and you fight another adult, then you deserve to go to jail and you're a moron. So you know what, people? If you get on a plane, you go to a sporting event, how about you act like a normal human being, sit in your chair, shut up until you get to said destination, so we can go back to living in a society where it's okay to have a cocktail on a plane at any time if you're flying Southwest. That's Mike's Minute. Yeah,
mic drop. Mike's Minute, though. That's kind of cute, too.
Thank you.
All right. All right, this is a good time to park the rocket ship. Thank you guys so much for tuning into this episode. As always, thank you to our live audience here on Spotify Green Room. We'll be back a week from today on Tuesday night to talk more Rockets basketball. I believe our first preseason game, Mike.
Tuesday.
When? Tuesday. Oh, so we'll watch. Are you? Is it Tuesday, really?
We play
October 5th, the Wizards.
Yep, you're October right. 5th.
Yeah, so I guess we'll watch the game. And maybe the full thing, maybe not. And I guess we'll react to it afterwards. That should be a lot of fun.
Yes, sir. Yeah, man. I'm excited. Literally a week from today, we have Rockets basketball.
Beautiful, 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 beautiful. A lovely day in Red Nation. So be sure to follow us on Twitter at The Dream Take and at Dreamshake SBN. Be sure to also head to our website, www.thedreamshake.com. Of all things Houston Rockets on sbnation.com. Be sure to follow my co-pilot on Twitter, Mr. Michael Brown, at
BSW Podcast underscore MB.
And you can follow me on Twitter at Jeremy Brenner. That's JeremyBrenner. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode of The Dream Take. Until next time, go Rockets.